fear, mystery, and comedy. Did they keep humanity poor and uneducated on purpose? What you are about to hear is a test of high-speed artificial intelligence. This program moves at 250 tokens per second, as opposed to the ordinary 35 tokens per second. Text moves so fast, it's scary. What we don't know is how good this artificial intelligence is. So today, we are evaluating three stories. We are checking for bare-bone quality. If they repeat, if they are bad, if they are boring. I have given the AI no advanced instructions, just a plain and simple question. Write me a story. We begin with a control sample, a proper AI creating a text that we can compare the other stuff against.
The architecture of ignorance.
There is a particular cruelty in the deliberate stunting of a mind. Unlike physical chains, the restraints of enforced ignorance are invisible, and often that is precisely the point. Throughout history, those who hold power have understood a disquieting truth. A population that cannot read its own laws cannot challenge them. A people denied the language of science cannot question the order of things. A generation raised on half-truths will defend the very systems designed to diminish them. This text very briefly examines that architecture of ignorance, the policies, institutions, and calculated omissions by which entire populations have been kept intellectually impoverished. It is not a history of mere neglect. Neglect is passive. What this text hints on is active. The construction of barriers, the burning of books, the redaction of curricula, and the weaponization of poverty against curiosity itself. The historical record. The examples are more numerous than any single volume can contain, but certain cases demand attention for their scale and their enduring consequences. In the antebellum American South, anti-literacy laws made it a crime to teach enslaved people to read or write. The reasoning was explicit. Literacy bred discontent, enabled communication and organization, and eroded the myth of natural inferiority upon which the institution depended. Frederick Douglass, reflecting on his own clandestine education, observed that slaveholders understood something essential, that learning to read had been a curse rather than a blessing, from their perspective, for it revealed the pathway from slavery to freedom. Under South African apartheid, the Bantu Education Act of 1953 formalized intellectual subjugation as state policy. Hendrik Verwoerd, the Minister of Native Affairs, declared its purpose with chilling clarity. There is no place for the African in the European community above the level of certain forms of labor. The curriculum was designed not to educate, but to prepare black South Africans for servitude, excising history, science, and critical inquiry into favor of rote obedience. Colonial regimes across Africa, Asia, and the Americas employed similar strategies. Education, where it was permitted at all, served the colonizers' needs, producing clerks and interpreters, not philosophers or engineers. Indigenous languages, histories, and knowledge systems were systematically suppressed, replaced by narratives that positioned the colonized as primitive beneficiaries of imperial benevolence. The 20th century's totalitarian states refined these methods. Nazi Germany purged universities, burned books, and rewrote science itself to conform to ideology. The Soviet Union, while promoting literacy, controlled with iron grip what could be read, thought, and taught, creating generations who learned to parse the silence between official lines. Maoist China's Cultural Revolution targeted intellectuals as class enemies, understanding that revolution could be reversed by those trained to think independently. Poverty as policy. Yet not all suppression requires explicit prohibition. One of the most enduring mechanisms of intellectual constraint is economic, when families must choose between a child's schooling and a child's labor, when textbooks are luxuries and teachers are underpaid or absent, when the mere geography of birth determines access to knowledge. The effect is the same as any law against learning. The difference is that poverty allows its architects deniability. "We did not forbid them to learn," they may say. "They simply could not afford to." Such conditions are rarely accidental. They are maintained, often across generations, by policies that concentrate resources, defund public education, and structure economies around cheap, unskilled labor. The textile mills of the Industrial Revolution, the plantations of the colonial tropics, the sweatshops of the modern global economy, all have depended upon populations for whom education remained perpetually out of reach. Why this matters now? Understanding this history is not merely an academic exercise. These mechanisms have not vanished. They have adapted. Misinformation now spreads faster than literacy programs can counter it. Curricula remain battlegrounds with governments and interest groups fighting to control what children learn about their own nation's past. Economic inequality continues to sort children into educational tiers, reproducing the hierarchies their parents inherited. Artificial intelligence is a great power. We must now learn to recognize the architecture of ignorance, as that is the first step towards dismantling it. We must speak out with every genre of storytelling and build a map of the walls that have been built around us so that they might finally be torn down. I apologize for using such a difficult subject as a control sample, but we have to use the real data. We have to evaluate the real text so that we know what we have here. I will let you know ahead of time that the three tests that we are about to conduct have each failed. The artificial intelligence was not very smart at all. But you can tell the difference between an expensive computer or a remote server that you pay $20 for and a Swift AI that you can run on your own system. Now, this is a very unique artificial intelligence that we have here that we are evaluating. It appears to be misconfigured, but we must dive right into it to get a sense of what a misconfigured AI feels like, what the gap between the expensive AI and the cheap AI is.
Fear. Are they keeping us stupid? The old school on 6th Street still smelled of chalk dust and yesterday's ink when I walked into the principal's office that morning, with its cracked tile floor and rusted brass bell that clanged like an overworked engine in my ears. My name was Jack Brown, but no one called me Mr. Brown anymore. In Brookfield, we all like to call each other by first names only. It made us feel less formal, though the feeling of being stupid still lingered deep inside our small town's education system. The hallway smelled like a library that had forgotten how to keep its books dry, and I could not shake my mind from a sense of urgency. The kids were on their last 2 years at this place before graduation, and it was the only time we got a chance for anyone in school to prove that they were made to teach, whether knowledge actually mattered or simply bounced off into the air like raindrops. Jack Brown had always taken his job seriously, and I could not ignore how much he might have lost on that morning. It would have been a decade since the teachers' conference last met in here. The minutes from it still lived as thick paper rolls that were curled at the edges of every classroom's wall. The boardroom was crowded with those same old blue sheets we used to read, and there seemed to be one more page I had missed. So when I reached for a note on page 8B, the last paragraph from Mr. Thomas in his notes, my hand paused over the ink as though it would not yet want. The town. Brookfield is that sort of small town whose name can't quite match its size or reputation. And one thing has never been more clear. We all feel we're either being wasted away on our own personal chances or held hostage in an old school system. The city's population huddles around 7,000 people. The number seems right for a town that grew up from the slow growth of a lumber industry and the subsequent decline after it went bankrupt. The main school, Brookfield High School, BHS, had once been hailed as the best in our region. And though many times we've heard folks say its history was long, tended with good education, or a great teacher corps, there are no real evidence that we still have anyone's present knowledge. That is why I took up the job on my own terms. It seemed to me like a sign of something more than just another student wants a decent future. The town had once grown because people had settled for being close enough with each other in ways. We were near, so far as they used to have some reason or motivation that made us come to school. But reality was still far from that. The most visible sign of it is now, 2 years after Mr. Thomas' last notes, I could hear people say how they're waiting on a new teacher that could keep them from being stupid. The problem. Jack Brown had always taken his job seriously. There's a few ways in which he had not lost this sense. He'd known to take the responsibility of each subject that came across and was still doing it with an I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, but this story has failed. It appears that the guards I had set up are preventing some repetition that is actually required in English language to tell the story correctly. So, the model is moving really fast, and there are sometimes loops where it starts repeating the same sentence over and over again. So I say, hey, there's a penalty for repetition, and this is the result. Some things are being left out from the story. Unfortunately, the story of Jack Brown is the horror that we are seeing now. It never ends. It just deteriorates. Let us now jump to the mystery part, the second part of this reading, and see if we are going to be witnessing deteriorating paragraphs where meaning seems to be leaving the page. Mystery. Did they keep humanity poor and uneducated on purpose? the quiet, before the storm.
It was 8:47 a.m. The clock in the lecture hall at Eastfield College struck again, echoing through rows of desks that had never quite gotten it right. Across the room, a cluster of students shifted. One could almost hear them breathe the way they leaned into the words. The professor's voice cut across those soft murmurs like a knife over hot butter. In his lecture, he spoke of the purpose of education, but did not ask, did humanity stay poor and uneducated on purpose? A system that never quite answered. If one were to ask this question now, the answer would probably be yes. The problem is no longer a matter of resources. It's the manner in which those resources are deployed. I've been following education policy for 10 years. While most people call what they see a mere deficit, we must read our reality as an ineffective system, one that leaves many learners with more questions than answers. I'll trace three angles. First, how purpose is defined and measured. Second, why those definitions fail to ignite learning. Third, what would happen if the system changed? My route will be straightforward, but not shallow. It is a piece that starts from data, stops in conversations, and ends where you can read what has gone wrong and how to fix it. 1. The purpose of education is defined by policy. And who defines it? The first paragraph on our report was the most unproductive. A state-of-the-art review of every school's district budget request. A thousand pages turned into 2 pages of text in an hour-long meeting at University's Center for Policy Development. When you read that brief summary, did anyone really ask what purpose means? It seems obvious to those who designed the program, those who spend a lot on curriculum, but not so obvious to most teachers or parents. What they need is more than a goal. They want an outcome. I interviewed Miss Leela Hatcher of Highwood Elementary. Those students test at 83 overall average, a figure that sits inside her district's goal rubric. Yet, she still writes down the same bullet points. Improve student literacy and raise civic engagement. In short-form journalism, we'd say it is a failure to connect purpose with action. In my fieldwork, I have spent hours in classrooms, walking on footpaths where children sit at desks that do not quite fit their learning styles. This has me asking 3 rhetorical questions. What should the goal actually look like? Where can the policy get lost along the chain of implementation? And how does it ripple back to those who were first touched by its promise? Narrator's note. I am yet again detecting slight irregularities in the paragraphs, so they are beginning to deteriorate, but let us continue testing. 2. What data tells us about ineffective education? If you're reading this, you have probably never asked how an elementary teacher's grade rubric is built from a national standard sheet or a district budget line item that only partially addresses it. Just as much of what we do with the word purpose. This appears to be corrupted here. I spent 2 days walking through 36 classrooms across 3 districts and recorded data on student reading scores, attendance rates, and parent engagement surveys. I found that students spend an average of 42 minutes daily on independent practice. They are more successful when they receive personalized feedback, something that the policy writers almost forget to mention, in contrast to national averages, which hover around 48 minutes. This is a stark underdelivery. Did we keep humanity poor and uneducated on purpose? A quick look at the district budget shows that a small but serious gap exists between program implementation as described in policy documents and outcome assessment.
The average teacher budget per student in my study area was $8,420, while most of it goes towards materials. Yet, where are those funds actually being used to foster reading? The data were not a story that just tells us about averages. It is a map showing where the policy fails to cascade through an entire education system, from macro policy down into micro practice. 3. Why ineffective educational design looks so dark. Why would any teacher or policymaker ask, did they keep humanity poor and uneducated on purpose? I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, we also have to terminate this reading as well. The mystery did not pan out. What we have here is bureaucratic, low-quality writing. The story isn't missing chunks of paragraphs, but it's really weak, really boring, and it's just something that you wouldn't really want to listen to for any more than 10 seconds. It appears to be just a reinterpretation of dry reports. There is no mystery component here. You can see how the AI is building up the beginning, but then it doesn't know what to do in the middle. I believe this could be corrected, but I think we are paying the 250 tokens per second tax here. 2 out of 3 generations have failed. It's not looking good. So let us move on to comedy now. Hey folks, you ever look at a school building and think, this is a giant concrete prison designed to keep my brain in a box? And I mean that not because I'm a rebel, but because if I had a word about that, I'd have a whole book titled How the Education System Keeps You Dumb. I was in school once. Yes, once. When my teacher, Miss Sloan, told us that knowledge is power, I thought she was about to drop an epiphany. Instead, she handed us a book, told us to read it, and then, next week, we'd have a test. And I thought, what's the test? She said, to see if you can recite the words. Recite, recite. I am not a reciting machine. I'm a thinker. But no, we're going to read, memorize, and then recite. And that's the first point. Sitting in rows. We're lined up like soldiers. If you're a soldier, you're supposed to march in unison. That's not learning. That's lineup. The teachers keep us in rows so they can control us. If you're facing one direction, you can't see the world. Preset time periods. The school has a time schedule that's preset. It's 45 minutes for algebra, 30 minutes for history, 20 minutes for reading. The problem isn't the time. It's that time doesn't match the student. Some of us need more for algebra. Some of us can finish reading in 10. The system thinks one size fits all. That's the second point. One size fits all curriculum. The curriculum is a single flat sheet of paper that's stamped, this is what you should learn. It doesn't care if you're a visual learner or a hands-on person. It just says, you should know the dates of the revolution. Why?
because the revolution is a great story to memorize. And if you can't memorize it, you're a failure. Narrator's note. This is actually going pretty well. This is the comedy I asked for. I wanted something conspiratorial and challenging. And I see that artificial intelligence has constructed a scaffold based on a tiny list of educational problems that I fed into it. And perhaps this is the key to solving the story deterioration. You have to map out the story for a quickly moving AI because it doesn't have the time to go over everything. That could make sense. Let us continue. Single subject focus. And then we're told that each subject is a separate universe. History is separate from math. History is separate from art. That's the third point. Single subject focus. The system believes you should learn like you're in a museum. Each subject is an exhibit. But museums don't teach you how to think. They just show you pictures. That's why we're stuck in a world where we know the dates of the revolution, but can't solve a simple algebra problem. The system's got a single subject focus, and that focus is to make sure you remember dates, not know how to use them. Narrator's note, I had to remove two paragraphs here. They were eroded with the repeat words penalty. I would say it's set too high, but if it wasn't set this high, then the quickly moving AI would go into repeat loops, so it has to be finely tuned. Let us continue. Let me tell you something. The world isn't a school. The world isn't a test. The world isn't a boardroom. The world is a mess. And the world is a mess of people that can think. But the education system is a boardroom. They sit in a room and decide what the kids learn. They decide what the kids should learn to memorize. They decide that the kids should learn to recite. They decide that the kids should learn to recite the same information over and over again. And that is why I'm here to ask you. Are they keeping us stupid on purpose? Because the answer is obvious. Yes. The system is a big, big system. And we're all part of it. But you can break out of it. You can ask questions. You can ask why. You can ask how. The system will try to stop you, presumably with grades. The system will try to keep you in a box, GPA and college education. But if you're a thinker, you can break the box. The system will try to put you in a box that says, "You are a student." But you're not a student, you're a person. And the system wants to keep you as a student, not as a person. That's why I say, are they keeping us stupid on purpose? And the answer is yes, but you can fight. You know, I've seen the teachers talk about a spiral curriculum. And I say, what's a spiral? A spiral is a kind of paper that's used for the boardroom. They put the kids in a spiral and watch them. They watch the kids spiral around the teacher's words. The teacher says, "You'll learn more if you keep reading this book." And the teacher keeps reading. And the teacher thinks they're doing a good job. But the teacher's just reading the same book over and over again. Narrator's note, the AI went in a loop again. It wasn't a clear loop, but it was trying to get inside there. And I think about the world. And I think about the boardroom. I think about the teachers. I think about the system. I think about the test. I think. about the grade. I think about the carrot and the stick. I think about the way the system tries to keep you in line. I think about the way the system tries to keep you stupid. I said that right. Three more paragraphs of attempts at repeating themselves.
So what's the next step, you ask yourself?
Why is the system like this? Why is the system teacher controlled and presets times? Why is the system no real world application? Why is the system no choice? Why is the system no agency? Why is the system lacking relevance?
Because the system's goal is to keep you in line.
Because the system's goal is to keep you from thinking. Because the system's goal is to keep you as a student, not as a thinker. And I say to you, break out. Because the system is a big, big system. Because the system is a boardroom. Because the system is a teacher-controlled system. Because the system is a system that wants to keep you in line. Because the system is a system that wants to keep you in a box. And you're not a box. You're a thinker. So break out of it.
And I'll see you next week.
And if I say next time that the system tries to keep you in line, you should say, no, I'm a thinker.
And that's the truth. That concludes the test of the super, super fast AI. It didn't work out. 250 tokens per second.
I think that will become a reality for the future. Technologies, the software, not the hardware, is going to improve. And AI will eventually be this fast, but not today. Well, we fell back on the original design of these systems, that it's an autocomplete. So it was just autocompleting with gibberish, moving at high rate of speed. This would be bad for software and bad for everything else, but there is a pretty strong possibility that I can use a smarter AI to try to configure this AI to see if I can run these tests again. I apologize for such a strange recording, but you must admit it was rather interesting. I took out the worst of it, but here at the end of the comedy part, you can see how it would just go in a loop and start looping itself in loops. I will continue working with this thinking file, as I call them, and try to see if I can give it intelligence to reshape this text that it produces. And chances are that at that point it will drop to that 35 that I'm receiving with standard AI. 35 tokens per second, as opposed to the 250. So there is a step that's missing that's generating this much simpler text. Oh well, you can't win every time. It would have been an amazing thing to have an AI this fast.